Welcome, everybody. Brian here, Chris here. Let's dive into the notes. Chris, you got the patch notes up. I'm going to go ahead and toss to that so they can see our faces and they can see the notes themselves. We've got them up. Let's talk about these 4.57. I'm getting 2 years ahead of myself.
So, playable content. Basically, there's a quest that looks like you have to abandon it, prompting you to abandon, you'll have to pick it back up.
Yeah, this is so that it's easier for them to get into the Crystal Tower, because pro tip, everybody, make sure you do the Crystal Tower story. I will be surprised if it is not required for starting the Shadowbringers story. Just saying.
That would be intriguing, and if that is the case, why would they not tell us now? But, yeah, and then housing, auto demolition has been re-enabled.
Why not tell us that male Viera aren't a thing at Paris? Like, if they put a roadmap together, I think they leave it to our best imaginations, but go ahead.
I remember when they were adding Namatsu and we knew that it would require some quests. And so I remember going and clearing all the side quests from the zones that Namatsu are in, because we knew which zone it was in. And then it turns out that the quest line leading up to Namatsu wasn't in that zone. And so I spent a whole day just clearing side quests on a level capped character for the fun of it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's gotta be fun to have.
Oh, you cleared the wrong side quest.
Mm-hmm.
All right, battle system.
Yes.
Basically, this is just end of expansion typical stuff. So we're seeing things move to be easier. We're seeing completion rewards get removed. We're seeing the Echo get increased. We're seeing Orbone Monastery cap get increased. So if you were looking to get eye level 400 prior to the expansion, now is the time when that might actually be worth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be required to clear the storyline. You are going to be able to clear it just fine, and pretty much I would guess anything 350 or higher, but if you want to be the highest possible, go nuts. Even the Eureka stuff, just making everything easier so that anybody who's got that list to finish up can just crank it out.
Now, if you're curious, what ends up happening also is that there will be gear that can be purchased to kind of get you up to, if there is a difference. So if it isn't 350, 360, 370, like whatever that number is, and if you fall short, there will be gear that you can acquire for Gil. So Gil actually is going to have some kind of value to be able to stockpile if for some reason you're just not able to get the tomes or the 390 gear.
Easy expensive, right? So no. When you say stockpile, if you've got two commas, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other part of this is I think the real kind of the thing that I like to see here is that the 390 gear from Orbone Monastery, you can go and roll on all of that. There's no weekly lockout on that, which is really exciting because that A raid is a lot of fun. And now you have more incentive to be able to go through and finish out any gear sets that you haven't gotten from that collection.
It should crush the 380 market. So it should make the 380 market crash. So if you're looking to purchase your 380s, I would let this kind of settle in for a week or two and then look and see if those prices haven't gone down. If you're making that, I wouldn't be stockpiling it right now. I would clear your stock out, because now that people have an unlimited access to 390, there's really no reason to buy 380. I bought all my 380s. I spent $2.5 million. If I could have just gone and raided for 2 hours and gotten it, I wouldn't have spent that.
Right.
Beast. So it feels weird to me that they would run a season this late in the game. But Brian, you made a good point when we kind of talked about this.
So the season 13 of the Feast has begun. And one of the things, and Chris is like, why would they do this before an expansion? It's that, well, there's no other real content that's coming. So this will help keep people to engage in it. And if people are taking a break or they're kind of just relaxing because they've done everything they've done in the game and are waiting for Shadowbringers, this might be an opportunity if the queue times are are reasonable. So get plugged in over at Reddit or on any kind of the PvP discords to be able to try to find times in which that these activities are being engaged in to help kind of reduce that runtime. But season 13, it's content, and that's one of the strongest things about PvP in a PvE game. Typically it can end up serving the content gaps from there, and then you end up having, just the gap in between now and Shadowbringers to be able to participate in PvP. Then obviously we've gotten some item updates. Set bonuses have been added to the following items: the Abe's attire and High Summoner's attire. So I like set bonuses. We don't do this a lot in Final Fantasy XIV, so it's really exciting to see that, hey, if you have all of this equipped, you get this. The specific bonus itself. I'd like to see more of that, but I know that it's such a challenge when it comes to balancing, especially with the glamour system kind of coming in here, because if those that gear doesn't necessarily scale up, like the first piece of gear that we have that does is the earring that's a part of the pre-order. If we had more gear that kind of scaled up that was always kind of relevant to your level or something like that, then I could see that set bonuses and different things like that coming into play a stronger role. Now, it doesn't say in the notes what the bonus was, so we'll have to, maybe somebody will go take a look at that.
Just like it doesn't say what the rewards are for winning season 13, but congrats to those.
Congrats. Pride.
The reason that we got 4.57, and that is the world visit system. So I just streamed for several hours. I made several laps through all the worlds on our data center. And the world visit system is something that North America just got. EU had it. My understanding is EU was a relatively smooth launch.
No, EU didn't have it. So I'm going to kind of put a, they got their data center. Everybody got world visit today.
Yeah. Okay. So their data center migration was smooth. And so that also happened for us today, didn't it?
Yes. We now have Crystal. Welcome, Crystal.
Simultaneously?
Yeah. Welcome, Crystal.
That is crazy.
Well, it shows, because one of the things that we were doing, and one of the impressions I can easily say, and we'll go through the notes and tell you guys how all this works. It's super fast. And super, I didn't have any problems.
Probably faster than jumping capital city to capital city.
Especially for you on PS4. You're not on PS3.
I get to see the longest load time. So you on PC that are used to 3-second load times, you're like, well, I don't know. Was that 2.5 seconds? Was it faster? Not faster?
It was. But it's so fast. It's so like...
I've got 30 to 60 second load times.
And within like 2 minutes, I visited every world, waved, and then moved on to the next. And actually, I went market to market to find the lowest price on a specific item I needed. Found the lowest price, purchased it, and moved on. moved on with my life.
I this morning went server. So I made a list of like really expensive items, and I went and checked all those. Turns out my server is one of the cheaper ones, so we're one of the ones that people will be buying from, not one of the ones that it's worth bringing things back to. But when I went to do my leave turn in for a crafter real quick to see if that would work, I went server to server and I actually bought 3 high quality items for a total of like, I think I paid a total of like 40,000. And then I listed one of them for 90 some odd thousand on my server, which will weigh, I mean, that totally pays for a big chunk of that. And then I turned the others in, which actually gave me so much experience, it leveled that crafter once.
Nice.
So like, this is an incredible system to take advantage of.
Absolutely. And you should take advantage of it. We're going to talk about a Reddit thread here in a little bit that's not so pleased with the fact that people can take advantage of it.
Can't please everybody.
can't win them all.
So the way it works, just to go over that real quick, is you basically go to the main Aetherite in Limsa, Gridania, Ul'dah, and it's right there. You click on that, and the same way you'd click on to go to the Aethernet, it's just there in that dropdown, somewhere in there, and it says go to another world. I prefer, if you're checking the market board, to do it in Limsa, because then I don't have to take the Aethernet to the market board. I can literally just run right there, but it doesn't really matter. You can do it from any of the three. There are some restrictions, so thankfully they were smart enough not to brand this the limited world system, because that would have pissed people off. But the restrictions are really logical. So you can't go burn all the unspoiled nodes. You can't get access to your retainers in your Moogle system, which means that's why you can't list items on other servers. You can't do mail. You can't join free companies that are on different servers. Free company chat does work cross-world. So like me and Brian were chatting while I was on a different world. You cannot earn company credits while you're on a different world. Link shells, it says, don't work, but cross-world link shells do.
Yeah.
So I assume that at some point link shells are going to just go away and all link shells.
I hope so. I think that would make sense, because, and then maybe give the player the ability to select whether this is going to be specifically for the world in the case of hunts and things that you only, but ultimately.
But all of that goes away too. That's all.
Ultimately, this is our continued step towards the mega server, to where Aether is the world, right? Instead of Sargatanis and, you know, Gilgamesh and all, like, all of these different servers. Eventually it's just going to be, you're on Aether, you're on Primal, you're on Crystal, that kind of concept. That's years away, you know, most likely 6.0 and beyond.
One step at a time, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's 6.57 when we just see everything go cross-world. And there's cross-world market board, there's all link shells become cross-world, free companies become cross-world, all of that. And then maybe it's 7.57, right? So you can't buy houses there, makes sense. You can't get married to somebody there. Makes sense. You're not really from their world. You're more of an ethereal concept.
Yeah.
You can't enter in their tournaments. So those of you that were like, oh, I'm going to go crush Lords of Verminion on all the servers. No, you're not. Deep Dungeon, you can't be on their leaderboard. Teleport, you can't use the Eternity. Like, the Eternity rings only work when you're on the same world. So the Eternity can't. The only way to go world to world is to go through those three Aetherites.
Yeah, and that's Olda, Limsa, Lumenza, and Gridania.
And then for now, it seems like the preferred world bonus is gone, and I think that's just them waiting to like let all the free server transfers kind of level itself out, and then they'll decide what servers still need that help. I would assume most of those would be aimed at the new data center, but
yeah,
we'll just have to see. Yeah. So that's the big one. So now you can select from the three North American data centers. So I guess that makes sense. So EU had a really smooth transition to that. I didn't even notice the difference today at all.
Yeah.
Everything was, I just logged right in.
You just logged right in. And then obviously what's going to be happening over the next 2 weeks, if you guys aren't aware, you can transfer for free, especially within the North American area. So if you ended up on Crystal, or, you know, if you're on Primal and all your friends are on Crystal, or, you know, coordinate, you guys can transfer, buy a house if you can, but definitely buy an apartment, don't furnish it, and you'll end up making plenty of gil in connection. And the reason
that works is they're gonna give, if you're leaving a house behind, they're gonna refund you that apartment cost, and then they're gonna give you a stipend to cover all the furnishings you put in it instead of itemizing it. And so just like when you do an itemized deduction or the standard deduction on your taxes, they're giving you a standard deduction. And so if you buy an apartment and don't furnish it, you're still getting that deduction. So you're still getting that refund. So that's a big one. I mean, that, and honestly, because of that, I will tell you, if you're logging in today, right when you get home, go ahead and boot your client up and get it patching, because there's not that much content that was added here, but your client got bigger today. So there is a big change. So my patch took like 20 minutes today. And so it would be a bummer if you got home and, you know, you got yourself settled, got dinner, and you're like, all right, I'm ready to play.
Nope.
So just go ahead and get that booting as soon as you get the chance. And then they just resolve their known issues, and that's
all. I like how the server backup function is now officially available. It's been in beta for this whole time. So the feature is now will allow players to save backups and character settings to the client and client settings to the server. Settings data saved to the server can be downloaded to different systems, allowing players to easily carry over custom settings. So before we had this, you had a manual way that you could do it. Just make sure, like, maybe once a month, just kind of get in the habit of saving your settings to the server. That way, if your system ever crashes, if you ever find yourself like, oh, I went to a new system, you can always just easily download it, and you're not going to have all of these little pain points of like, oh no, my hotbars, oh no, I have to reset up everything.
Definitely do a UI change.
Yeah, absolutely.
UI change immediately after. Save.
All right. So let's talk about the market. So over on Reddit, it was posted, letting people buy from the servers on the market boards was a terrible idea. And I'm showing the thread. I like the first one. Give it time. Things will smooth out. So there is definitely some reason within the community understanding that, no, this is actually by design. The fact that we can't sell on these worlds is the goal, is to even out our economies, to smooth it all out, so that eventually all market you can buy and sell from anywhere, and eventually all it's going to be is just one market as a part of the data center. But the best way forward, the smoothest way, because Chris said, like, yeah, they could have just turned it on and let you sell, you know, as well. They could have just not have those restrictions, and it would probably been, you know, like 2 weeks of like just the market is just going nuts and things, you know, nobody knows what the value is of anything anymore is, and then that would have been, and then eventually it would have settled down. I think that would have been the hardest pain point. I think what they have here is, like,
I would have just laughed. it's fine. Gil still doesn't matter. So, like, first and foremost, keep that in mind. Gil doesn't matter in this game. There is no end game use for Gil. There isn't. It's just a scoreboard. So just seeing how high you can run it. So the first thing you want to do when you look at this is you want to understand what gil means. So currency is the use of, it's a bartering middle step for goods and services, so that if you want to trade an item. I don't have to have an item you want. It's that middle step. I'll give you money and then you can go spend that money with someone else. That's all gil is. And so if on my server, a cordial sells for 1,000 gil and a 380 piece of gear sells for 100,000 gil, then if I have 100 cordials, I can get a piece of 380 gear. If on your server, both of those prices are half that, then your gil actually still has the same value. You just have less money in your wallet. So it doesn't matter because you're still going to use that money to either buy the cordials or buy the gear, and it still adds up to the same amount. It doesn't matter. What Cross World does is it starts to say, now there's an exchange rate. Now all of a sudden you do want to pay attention to what the dollar is and what the euro is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is possible that I can go buy my cordials on Gilgamesh and I can go buy my 380 gear on Junova and I can actually come home with some money to spare. And so that's really the difference. That's all that's happening here.
Yeah. And so for people who I would actually recommend should go to Limsa and take advantage of the market itself, because this is the opportunity where you can engage. The only risk, the only people who stand a risk of actually losing are people who speculate wrong on prices. But you can literally go from world to world, find, you know, things that you can either, you know, the goal is to buy low and sell high. So if something is selling at a lot at a high price on your server and you can go find it very cheaply on another server, go buy that and then come and sell that back on your server and you'll make the money. And you are basically being kind of, you're being rewarded for your time in making that connection and making that search and then going from there. And what happens though, is because the reason they won't let you sell on other servers is that you are taking your money that you made on your server and you're actually infusing it into the server that you are buying from. So somebody on that server is getting the money, and over time, you're going to start to see the imbalance that has in the existing economies with gil. Maybe one server's got, you know, like a billion gil, and the other one only is coming at like a, you know, a 100 million gil. There's a huge disparity. So what happens is that you can say, hey, I can go buy this stuff up really cheap because there isn't a lot of money, so prices are low here, and then I can take it here and I can make more money. But now I'm taking money from this server and I'm infusing it into the server. There's not a lot of gil, and over time, that's going to end up balancing out. And then over time, they're going to be able to then say, okay, let's go ahead. Now that these things are more even, that there's a better gil distribution, now buying and selling wherever, it doesn't necessarily matter because it's all one world.
Right. And if you want to take full advantage, you want to create a character on every server on your data center and level them up to the point that you have retainers. And you want to do that with a friend, because the way you would have to transfer items is Brian and I would go level up characters on Genova was the highest price on Aether, just based on the items I looked at today. Mm-hmm. So Brian and I would want to log in right now, go start new characters, get our little sprout symbol and go crank those up and get retainers. And then what I could do is I can literally carry gil, items, whatever value I have established on my main, I can carry it to Genova. I can trade it to Brian's alt. Brian can then trade it to my alt, and now my alt has it. But it takes that middle step.
Yeah, you need a middleman.
And then what we could do is while I'm logged onto my alt, Brian could switch back to his main, bring over whatever value he wants to bring, and I could return the favor. So if you had a friend, that'd be how you take full advantage of this. But the thing I would tell you is if you just want to take advantage of it on your main, go shop around, but keep in mind on your server, don't just look at the prices, look at that history and make sure that the prices you're comparing to are real prices, that things have actually been trading for that, and then go nuts. But basically there's going to be winners and bigger winners for most players, because most people are either going to see their stuff sell for the price that they listed it for, which is good news, or they're actually going to go and make money doing this. Maybe their prices were listed a little outlandish for their server, but that's still low by data center standards. So they're going to make extra money. And the only people who are going to lose are going to be people like myself. I went off and spent around 500,000 gil this morning buying up a handful of items. I just picked an index of like 10 items that I thought might be interesting to track. And so I went off and visited all the servers, bought them up if they were like a certain ratio compared to my prices. So I was looking for them to be well below half. That way I saved myself a lot of margin. And then I came back and actually I've already had stuff sell. I had an item I bought for 10,000 sell for 40,000 this morning. And depending on how much money you're willing to risk doing this, like Calamari on my servers is a minion, is selling for 2.8 million. Some of the servers I saw it as low as 2 million, and some of the servers I saw it as high as 5.5. So if you could buy it for 2 million and sell it for 5.5, you would take 2 million gil and make 3.5. So the ratio is definitely there. I just, first of all, don't have a character on the server that's at 5.5 to sell it. Second of all, I'm not willing to risk 2 million if I'm wrong. Because that's a substantial amount of change. So hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully that causes everybody to just kind of chill out. It's just going to increase the number of buyers, and in the long term, it'll all level out.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting to see. I am just unbelievably impressed with the smoothness that happened this morning, that I really hope that foundationally that continues. I love the speed of transferring worlds, and I'm very much looking forward to running maps with the community, because now we can say, hey, we're doing these maps, transfer to our world, and let's get this thing done. Chris, do you have any final thoughts about these patch notes or the world visit system that you haven't shared yet?
Honestly, just seeing this launch so smoothly, seeing them do the data center migration so smoothly, just gives me less nervousness. I mean, it's not immune to it, about the expansion launch. They do have the stress test coming up. Brian, you talked about it in your last video.
Yeah, and so they're going to announce, like server announce, like, hey, go to this world and go do this fate. And I am so thrilled they're doing that. It's really exciting to see, because my hope is that even after this stress test, that they can kind of broadcast like things like, hey, go do this thing. Like this special thing is happening. That's my hope.
How cool would that be if they found a way to have events that required you to jump worlds?
Yeah.
To have seasonal events that like literally take you world to world.
They could do it. And with going forward, it's like, hey, by the way, pop, 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 pop.
Tuesday, you gotta go to Midsummer to finish this up. Oh, cool. I don't know. Could be neat. So I'm excited. I think it's a good time to be in the game, and I think it's a really exciting time to see all this stuff happening, and that it's just going so well. I can't imagine the amount of work they put in to make it go this smooth.
Absolutely. Well, that's it, guys. This has been awesome. Take advantage. Go make your money, and just have fun with it. I'm blown away by the speed of this. Like I thought it was going to be, anyway, it's just fast. It's super fast. So we'll keep you guys up to date on all things, Final Fantasy related news and opinion, as well as some guides coming up here for Shadowbringers. For Work the Game, my name is Brian.
My name's Chris.
Thanks so much for watching.
And we'll see you next time.
Take care. Hey guys, it's me, Brian. Thanks so much for watching this video. If you're new here, we hope you hit that subscribe button. Check us out. We talk a lot about video games, and we hope to at least hear from you in the comments below. We also try to respond to our comments. You know, we really appreciate the comments, the discussion, all the various points of view that everybody is so kindly, impolitely or impolitely shares with us from time to time. So anyway, guys, again, thanks for watching this video. We hope you hit that like button. We hope you hit that subscribe button. Come back for more content each and every day. We post a lot around here, and we'd love to hear from you about what you like about video games and everything. And especially if you have any questions that you're stuck on in anything. So anyway, signing off. See you next time.